Well, please sit down as you have done and turn, if you would, in the Bibles to page 1090, page 1090, and you'll see an outline of this talk on the newsletter that you were given as you came in. I'm afraid that Catherine and I have just very recently moved house and we've got no internet at the moment, and so there are no pretty pictures for you today, I'm afraid. Just the Word of God, which is actually far more important. So John 21, verses 1 to 14. When I became a Christian, it was because I believed that Jesus was a man of his word. He would do what he had promised. I found that he promised that if I asked him into my life, he would come in, and I believed that would happen. It did. I asked him hesitantly but definitely into my life, and before many days were out, I knew in my experience that he had come in. He does what he promises. And that is what his disciples discovered. While he was on earth, he told them that he would be arrested, tried, crucified, and rise again. And then he promised, "After I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." On Easter Sunday, someone looking like a young man met Mary Magdalene and some other Christian women and said, "Go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." That's Mark 16, verse 7. Now, Mark himself does not tell us how that promise was fulfilled, but John does. John chapter 21 is the fulfillment of that promise of Jesus, as you'll see from how it begins in verse 1. Afterwards, John says, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. Jesus always does what he promises. He is, as the New Testament says of God his Father, faithful and true. Now we're going to look at this great chapter throughout today. The first half of the chapter this morning, and the even more important final half this evening. So what do these first 14 verses tell us? First, Jesus showed himself alive. In the New Testament stories, you can often find the main meaning of the event in the first verse of the story or the last. In this case, John tells us both at the beginning and at the end that Jesus showed himself alive from the dead. The first verse says it twice. Literally, verse 1 reads, "Afterwards, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Galilee, and he showed himself in this way." And have a look at the last verse of the story, verse 14. "This was now the third time Jesus was shown to his disciples after he was raised from the dead." As I said to the children a moment ago, it wasn't just that on Easter Sunday the tomb was empty. If you turn back a page to chapter 20, that's how the Easter story begins. Look at chapter 20, verse 1. "Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance, and she found the tomb empty." That's why she says in verse 2, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb." And then Peter and John raced to the tomb and found no body. Just, verse 6, "The strips of linen that had been round the body lying there, And verse 7, the cloth still there that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The tomb was empty. But it was soon much more than that. Jesus appeared to different people on several occasions. First in John's Gospel to Mary Magdalene. Look at chapter 20, verse 14. At this, Mary turned round and saw Jesus standing there. But she didn't realize that it was Jesus. Then to all his disciples, except Thomas, who was away at the time. Look at chapter 20, verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, Easter Sunday, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them. Then to all of his closest disciples again, this time including Thomas. Chapter 20, verse 26. A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. And now over the page in chapter 21, verse 2, to Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana, the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and two other disciples as well. He showed himself to his followers again and again, and so proved to them that the crucifixion was not the end. He was and is alive from the dead. This is not myth. It is proven fact. Don't let anyone ever tell you that the resurrection never happened, or that we can't be sure. Look at chapter 21, verse 7. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And then on the opposite page, verse 24, "This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down." We know that his testimony is true. The disciple whom Jesus loved is John. He was there. This is not second or third hand reporting. John saw the risen Jesus, saw him on several occasions after his death and resurrection. And John is telling us what he saw with his own eyes. He wrote it down for us. This is eyewitness testimony. And it is true. We'll turn over one more page to Acts chapter 1 and look at Acts chapter 1, verse 3. After his suffering, Jesus presented himself to his disciples and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to his disciples over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So many people over a considerable period of time had it proved to them. Jesus showed himself alive. And then secondly, Jesus was different but the same. Story after story tells us that his body was subtly changed. He wasn't immediately and obviously recognizable. And then something very familiar about him gave him away. If you turn back one page to John chapter 21, Jesus appears on the shore, admittedly a couple of hundred yards away, calls out to his disciples. But it's only after a bit that we hear verse 7. Then that disciple, John, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." Turn back another page. Mary Magdalene is weeping. But when she sees Jesus in chapter 20, verse 15, her first thought is, he's the gardener. Then in chapter 20, verse 20, the disciples only really understand it is Jesus when he shows them his hands and his side. Most famously, when Jesus walks with two of his followers to the town of Emmaus, Luke tells us, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. That's Luke 24, verses 15 and 16. His resurrected body was a little different from the body he had before. It could, for example, go through locked doors. And yet he was the same Jesus. And he always gave himself away by some action or word that was very familiar, and then they recognized him. With Mary Magdalene in the garden, it was when he spoke her name. Look at chapter 20, verse 16. Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. She would know that voice anywhere. He'd spoken to her so many times. And now he spoke her name again. With the disciples in the upper room, it was, as chapter 20, verse 20 says, when he showed them his pierced hands and the spear thrust in his side. It was the same with Thomas the doubter. Look at chapter 20, verse 27. Then Jesus said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. There's no longer any doubt in Thomas's mind then. Look at the next verse, verse 20. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. If you turn over the page to John chapter 21, it was the large haul of fish they caught. As soon as they did that, they recognized that it was him. Look at chapter 21, verses 4 to 7. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. It wasn't just a miracle in itself. It was that it had all happened before, right at the outset of their knowing Jesus. Do you remember they'd spent at that time a whole night fishing and caught nothing at all? And he told them to try once more. And immediately they caught so many fish their nets began to break. That's Luke chapter 5 verses 4 to 10. And now this very same thing was happening again. And John knew exactly why. It's the Lord. And after that memorable walk to Emmaus, it was when Jesus gave thanks for the bread and broke that bread that they recognized him. His way of doing it was so familiar. Yes, in every story, the risen Jesus was different, but the same. And the New Testament says it will be like that for us who believe in Jesus. At the end of time, when Jesus comes again, we will be given new bodies, resurrected bodies, like Jesus' risen body. And we too will therefore be different, but the same. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52 says, we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. And St. Paul tells us this is because our new body will be like Jesus' resurrection body. He says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, we eagerly await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Our resurrected bodies, like Jesus's, will be different, much more glorious, and yet the same. It will still be us, just as it was still Jesus. And then thirdly, John chapter 21 tells us Jesus met them in their everyday life. Personally, I haven't the patience to enjoy fishing. But they were fishermen by profession. Fishing had been part of their ordinary life. And it was as they went fishing that the risen Jesus met with them. Look at verses 3 to 5. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. The disciples didn't realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. And it was in that context, their totally normal activity of fishing, that the risen Jesus met with them. And what happened then? Again, something perfectly normal. They ate breakfast. But then, verse 12, Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. And verse 13, Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. Jesus didn't meet them in some extraordinary mountaintop experience when they were right away from their normal surroundings and in a heightened state of awareness. No, he met them in their everyday life, while they were at their normal work of fishing, while they were eating breakfast. So that's the message of the first half of this chapter. Jesus is alive. And we shouldn't imagine that he will only meet us in exceptional situations. When we're at Bible by the Beach with all its biblical teaching, or at the Woolley or Rumsey camp, or here on a Sunday when Mark is preaching, he may meet us then. But if we're wise, we'll also look out for the risen, living Jesus in our everyday life. He's just as likely to show himself to us as we're having breakfast with a friend, or we're in the middle of our normal working life, or we're collecting the children from school, or we're having a bath at home. I remember a hairdresser telling me that he came to Christian faith when he had 10 minutes between customers. And he somehow knew in that time that Christ was there, wanting to come into his life. So look out for the risen Jesus in your everyday life. If by any chance you've never met with the risen Jesus, then it would give me just enormous pleasure to be able to spend 5 minutes with you over coffee afterwards and just explain to you very, very simply how the risen Jesus can meet with you in your everyday life, even today, here in Eastbourne. Please have a word with me at the door, and I'll come and grab a coffee with you and just talk you through, I've got a little booklet here to help me do that, how you could come to know the risen Jesus for yourself. And if you're one of those who have met the risen Jesus in the past, then let me encourage you to look out for him in your everyday life. You may be like the disciples and not recognize him at first. He may be present without your knowing it. But if you're on the lookout, if you wake up tomorrow morning and on Tuesday and Wednesday and say, Lord Jesus, show yourself to me alive from the dead today, you may well come to realize that he is with you, alive, real, risen from the dead. And if you are looking for him, I'd be very surprised if he didn't meet some, probably all of us, this week. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are alive. It wasn't just that you rose again nearly 2,000 years ago, but that you never died again, and you are gloriously, powerfully alive today. Help us, we pray, to meet with you in our everyday lives. Certainly we pray, if we're going to Bible by the Beach, that you will meet with us there. But we also pray that at work and at home and when we're with other people and when we're alone, you may draw near, and that our eyes will be opened to see that you are wonderfully, gloriously, reassuringly with us. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen.